song always gets me hype. Yo, it's Raped and Gold, another episode. We're talking about the NXT UK action, of course. It's your homeboy, Flo Boy's back in the studio. One-bedroom apartment here in Los Angeles after taking that one-week detour in New York City. Thanks to everyone watching and streaming live on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, and on Twitch. And if you're on that Twitch, do a brother a favor, hit more than one of those follows. But you're not here to talk about me, talking about please follow me, though you should. You're here to talk about wrestling action, and I can't do it alone. I'm being joined by one of the fantastic hosts of the Mac Mania Podcast, Spotify Original, and also doing his dang thing, becoming, dare I say, one of the Defy Wrestling ring announcers? What? Give it up to the real Jack Farmer. What's going on, sir?
Flo Bo Boyce, glad to have you back in sunny California.
Out of that sunny.
Well, you know, figuratively speaking.
Right. On the postcard. Yeah, man, it's great. Great to be back.
So just for the record, I'm filling in. I'm doing a one-off is what I'm doing over in Defy Wrestling. But I am really, really excited about it. Defy has always been a company I hold near and dear to my heart. And so getting the opportunity to do anything over there has been is always exciting. So very excited and pumped up about that.
Well, you know what I say, #bringbackJack, right? You do it once, and then all of a sudden, everyone wants you more and more and more. So I'm okay with that. I'm confident you'll be in the rotation.
Once you go Jack, you never go back. It's something that a lot of people have been saying.
There's no context there at all. Before we get into the events of NXT UK this week, I want to give a shout out to my boy, Ashton Smith and Stevie Turner, both celebrating birthdays this week. Thank you so much for making birthday. NXT UK that much better. Yeah.
Yeah, happy birthday to both of them.
Well, Jack, you know, if you guys watch the formula of the show, I usually start with the main event and I work backwards, but I got to talk about what happened at the top of the show today. Charlie Dempsey had a match against Joe Coffey, the Iron King, but has the King fallen? Jack, we talked about Dallas and their win-loss record being kind of wobbly, but I have never seen anyone put Iron King to sleep. What?
This was a must-win match for Joe Coffey, and he came up short. I love to say I told you so, so I'm going to just enjoy this moment and say I told you so, Flobo. I told you weeks ago, months ago, about a year ago, that the cracks were starting to show in the foundation of Gallus. And here we are, the wobbly legs of the once dominant faction now just falling out from underneath them as they get put to sleep by Dempsey, a relative newcomer to NXT UK. This never would have happened a year ago. And now we're seeing that the Familia, they have taken over.
Well, they always ask us in history class what killed the Roman Empire, internal and external, and is usually a combination of both. You're right, Dallas has been, you know, not the greatest. And I still maintain, maybe it's a hot take at this point, that Charlie Dempsey does not need La Familia and vice versa. I don't really see them as a unit. I see them as two moving things side by side. I don't really understand the whole alliance thing.
Between the Familia?
Yeah, why would the Familia recruit Charlie Dempsey? What does Charlie Dempsey get by being with the Familia?
Have you seen the guy? Have you seen how good he is? You see him in the ring today? He was a phenom. He was great. He's lived up to every bit of the billing. Plus, family's one of those things you don't necessarily choose. You're tied in by blood, and I think that Tioman could feel that with Dempsey.
Well, whatever, what it's still a what you call a upset, if you will. I know the whole thing is not going to be done between Gallus and La Familia or the Familia, which is weird because the announcer was like, the Familia, but then it's like La Familia, but they don't speak Spanish. I don't know. Vin Diesel's there. Anyway.
It was unfortunate. You know, the teams were supposed to be banned from ringside, but Gallus couldn't stay away. And I'm glad that Dempsey was able to overcome the odds, though.
That aside, because I know you're just totally just working out. Look, we're draped in gold. We're a bunch of journalists. Not really. We're award-winning, as you could tell over there.
Very, very award-winning.
Very, very award-winning.
As you can tell right there.
But I have to ask, man, have you seen Joe Coffey take a loss that definite, like that decisively?
Not in a long time. In a very long time. It's very odd. There was a time when it felt like this team were dominant, unbeatable tag team champions and that Joe Coffey was the heir apparent to the NXT UK championship. But now I'm wondering, now they're not even in the tag team title competition tournament, which I'm sure we'll get to, but they're not even in there. They're not even mentioned in that. I don't think any of them are anywhere near the NXT UK title. None of them are even sniffing around the Heritage Cup. They've completely fallen from grace. I don't know what they need to do, but they need to get their act together, and they need to do it quick, because like I've said, the cracks in this foundation continue to grow, and eventually it's going to be unsalvageable.
Well, you mentioned it. Let's go into it right now. There's been a decision made by the office of Johnny Saints / this guy. You know, Stitch put his name on the door by now. He's been doing so much of his work, this GM work. Yeah. A bit of a tag team tournament to announce the number one contenders for the titles now held by Mustache Mountain. Symbiosis versus Ashton Smith and Oliver Carter will be on one side of the bracket, with Stars and Massive against La Familia, which they had their victory today with Charlie Dempsey. The winners facing each other, and the winners become the number one contender. Now, you're right. Two things to notice here. Gals not in the equation at all. Two, Symbiosis and Stars and Massive are in this little tournament, and they have the worst tag team records here in NXT UK.
Well, again, Gallus, good point, but you missed the biggest thing about this tournament, and that is that why aren't Pretty Deadly getting their rematch? They were one of the longest reigning tag team champions of NXT UK history, and they're not even in the conversation. They don't even get a rematch. They shouldn't even have to go through a tournament. They should just get a rematch. I feel like that's just an obvious point, especially because they've been so dominant. It's not like they had the title for a week and then lost it. They were the tag team division for a very long time. And I feel like Sid is really starting to drop the ball with some of his decisions lately, and not having Pretty Deadly, at the very least, getting a first round bye in this tournament is very, very frustrating.
Dylan Matthews says, rematch tank. I actually forgot about Pretty Deadly, which is kind of sad to say, but you're absolutely right. The tag team champions, former champions, have a rematch. If you believe in rematches, because I know a couple years ago we were the authority, we don't do rematches anymore. But if you were, this should be some sort of equation for Pretty Deadly. Do you think they get involved in this tournament then? Or do you think they just kind of take their time, buy their time, and wait to be the next number one contender after this one?
I love NXT UK. I love Pretty Deadly, but I think right now, if you are Pretty Deadly, you need to be asking yourselves, how badly does NXT UK really want me? If I was Pretty Deadly, I'd be calling up guys like William Regal. I'd be calling up guys like Adam Pearce. I'd be calling up people like Sonya Deville. And I'd be saying, you know what? Maybe you'll give me an offer I deserve. Because Sid has just been disrespectful to Pretty Deadly, the greatest tag team in all the world right now.
Well, that's not even true in this episode. Mustache Mountain makes an appearance, and they say, I have to look this up, they're the only tag team to win both NXT and NXT UK titles, for 22 days in 2018, they won the titles in England or Europe, excuse me. But here's the deal, Jack. This already proves that Mustache Mountain is one of the most decorated tag teams on the planet. It's not that much of a stretch then to keep Pretty Deadly out of the conversation. Their time is done. Their time has passed. No one wants to be Pretty Deadly no more.
Mustache Mountain has lost more titles than Pretty Deadly has, so I would say Pretty Deadly's a better team.
That is not how that works. That's not how that works at all.
They are the losingest champions I can remember.
Oh my! They just got the
title. I can't even believe it. In fact, they rubbed it in our face. Trent Seven rubbed it in our face. He was like, "We're standing here getting to call ourselves the best, even though Tyler Bate has lost the Heritage Cup. He's lost the NXT UK championship. He's lost the NXT tag team titles. Yet here we are calling ourselves the best." Crazy. Just the gall of these guys.
So let's call it now. I got to get you on the record. Do you have Symbiosis win this tournament and them being called number one contenders?
I think it's very obvious and very plain to see that the finals are going to come down to Familia versus Symbiosis.
Right.
And that's where it's going to get very, very interesting. I love that because you're going to see two of the best really going at it. I kind of think both those teams should have gotten.
Get to the point, Jack. Which one do you got? In Symbiosis. This tournament,
so they should just go to the finals.
So you realize that Mustache's match is going to retain either way. You know, they're that good. Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, they're just that good. Doesn't matter who's going to
do it. They've already lost titles before. They're good at it. They're good at losing titles. Tyler Bate especially. But look, so you want me to pick? Symbiosis will win this tournament. They will go through all the way.
I'm glad you
mentioned that. And I say that because you could see the way they were talking in that promo. Great lines, by the way. Just, again, showing just how educated they are because of Eddie Dennis. You throw us to the wolves enough, we'll come back leading the pack. That one stood out to me, and I have a feeling that that was a foreshadowing. Now, for people who aren't as educated as some of Eddie Dennis fans, foreshadowing is when you imply something now that will happen down the line. That means they're going to become the champions.
Really? That's what it is? That's what foreshadowing is?
Yes. Thanks.
Thanks for letting me know. I was a little confused about that. Did it pass fifth grade English class? I can see that. Yeah.
I'm not shocked.
I know, right? So I get that. Even though he stole it from, what's his name? Big Sean. Here's the deal, though. Eddie Dennis has said it himself. This year wasn't his greatest. He admitted it. But on this show, you rant and rave about him. If Eddie Dennis himself is saying he's having a mid-year, shouldn't you agree also that somebody else isn't as good as you say they are?
No, because Eddie Dennis is able to look beyond who he is right now and where he's been. He's improving, Flobo. He gets better every year. So by the end of next year, he's going to look back at this year and think, yeah, I hadn't gotten where I wanted to get yet. He's going to be better next year. Guess what? Next year is not going to be as good as the following year. 2023 is not going to be as good as 2024. And 2024 is not going to be as good as 2025. Eddie Dennis improves. That's why he's able to look back and be like, look, this wasn't even the best year. It's going to get even better.
You're a bigger advocate than Paul Heyman, but we got to move on because I can't take this propaganda no more. Kenny Williams defeated Danny Jones, which I still think in defeat, Danny Jones is a stud and should be signed hardcore. But Kenny Williams after Mark Andrews. And, well, I have a question for you there, Jack. Kenny Williams is one of your favorites, of which you have many. Do you think it's kind of like wasting his time with Mark Andrews? Do you think he'd be going for titles? Should he be doing something more fun, something more to his career? I mean, he broke away from Ramirez Jordan with sights on the prize, but he hasn't been anywhere near that prize going after subculture, which, even though we love him as much, not really that much of a formidable team if you think about their win-loss record.
Well, I want to double endorse Danny Jones. I think Danny Jones is great. I don't know. Were we watching the same show messing with Andrews? I mean,
yeah, he messed up. He injured him backstage.
I saw backstage that Andrews had like tripped and fallen and hurting himself, and Williams came out trying to find help. He was like, hey, someone's hurting there. Go help them. And then he got it out of their way so like paramedics and people could get in there.
Was
and
this
help
a pre
them.
Peacock Premium? Was this something in the Network Plus? What the hell?
I mean, well, I don't know what happened to Andrews. No one does, but I know Kenny Williams was the one coming out saying someone got hurt in there. There was an accident. He was going to get help. I thought Kenny Williams was really, really doing a mature thing. Because I know even though he doesn't get along with subculture, he was still like, listen, someone got hurt back there. Go find help. That's what he was doing.
That's not what he said at all. Not at all.
I'm paraphrasing.
Oh, of course. Question stands, though. Mark Andrews definitely has to get his revenge, or at least attempt. I'm not going to say he is. He's going to attempt to get his revenge because allegedly he was hurt by Kenny Williams. Allegedly. Playing it safe political. Thing is, question still stands. Kenny Williams, if you're telling me he's so much smarter than everybody else, what's he doing going after a member of a tag team / faction / stable? Should he not be going after gold?
Let me ask you this. Do you think that Mark Andrews is a good wrestler?
Yeah.
Do you think that a win over him means something?
I think so.
So you're answering your own question.
But that's everyone on the roster. He can go up to Shaw Samuels if he wants to. I'm just saying. Titles, yeah. Gold. Yeah, money.
Dylan in the chat, by the way, for our audio listeners, making a really great point. Kenny Williams needs a bravery award for his actions. Because, by the way, it doesn't, you know what? Especially, and Kenny Williams knows better than anyone else. You have Saxon Huxley running around, causing a complete ruckus everywhere he goes. It was probably Saxon Huxley that hurt Andrews. And now Kenny Williams is trying to help him. He's like, oh my gosh, this madman is back here. I got to make sure everyone's safe. Dylan, I think you bring up a really good point. We need to get a medal for Kenny Williams and honor him as the brave man he is.
I'm going to double down and triple down and say # give Danny a chance. Let the homeboy cook, as they say in the streets. And Flappuccino says, somebody said Kenny Williams. Lordy. Moving on, because Jack has been completely insufferable this week. We have ourselves a little bit of an announcement.
It is the holidays.
Yeah. You're like the anti-Kringle. This holiday joy is whatever the hell you're bringing right now. Kenny Williams deserves a chance. What? Holiday edition of NXT UK next week. If you had to just predict what you think is going to happen.
It's probably going to be like best of is what I'm guessing.
Yeah. cool. I hear
I
you.
I wish I had a fun answer, but it's probably just gonna be best of.
Okay. I thought you had like some sort of like gimmick. If it was SmackDown, it'd be like the holiday lumberjack match with the elves or whatever.
Right. Yeah. There's always with SmackDown, there's always a match where there's going to be goodies on the, like on tables, like treats and snacks and cakes and things.
Yeah. For the kids.
And if it's SmackDown, I guess there's gonna be pancakes because you know New Day is gonna be involved.
Before we get to our main event, I have a question, or it's a bit of an observation. So we saw a promo between Blair Davenport and Mako Satomura. Their title match will be set for 3 weeks, which will be the first NXT UK of 2022. You know what I realized watching this is the kind of the crescendos and the music and the cuts and the angles put me back to the former NXT 1.0's prime target. Something I truly miss. Thoughts about the promo there, Jack? Especially a couple weeks ago, we had the Amel promo. What is happening in UK? And it's been like on a tear when it comes to telling their stories visually.
Yeah, I don't know if they got new like people backstage to do some editing or directing, or if they've just decided to kick that up a little bit. But yeah, they've been great. This is a great promo package. It really sold this match as something you have to see. And I think you do have to see it because anytime a title changes hands, it's can't miss. And Blair Davenport
becoming
a champion is going to be something all of us are going to want to see happen when it happens.
Well, how are you so sure and confident? Do you not see Mako Satomura on social media training in Orlando for this match already?
Training as far away from Blair Davenport as possible.
I walked into that, as
you could see. It was funny because, you know, Mako's got a reputation. Everyone knows she's great. I'm not saying she's not great, but as Blair Davenport said, she's like, hey, I went to where you live. I was the foreigner and I was the best foreigner there. And then, you know, it was kind of implied. Mako went running and hiding, and she's like, oh, now you're in my country hiding. So now I'm coming to find you here. And now Mako's like, oh, I'm off again. Whoop, 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 whoop. As we like to say, ran away.
Stupid sound effects.
Ran away. Fuck. Now she's in Orlando. It's a game of where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, and Blair Davenport's hot on the trail.
You're telling me there is zero chance of victory for Mako Satomura against Blair Davenport. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that Blair Davenport is going to win the championship when they finally collide, when she finally catches up to Mako Satomura. I mean, maybe Mako's plan is to just tire out Blair as Blair follows her around the globe. like it's like Red Notice, just chasing her all over. It's like a National Treasure where he's running around all over the place trying to find her, putting together clues. Where's Mako now? Where's Mako?
That would be the worst storyline ever. Guys, due to the fact that I'm really sleepy, I must vacate the NXT Women's Championship. I'm tired of running.
I think we're going to Blair Davenport is going to have to steal the Declaration of Independence so she can get the map to find Mako Satomura wherever she's hiding. It's going to be like finding the big golden egg. It's going to be a long, arduous trip, but I think Blair Davenport will be able to figure it out.
Breaking news, Jack Farmer calls Mako Satomura a coward. Details at 11. Got to move on because all the fans are probably flaming you on Twitter. Let's talk about that main event, man. You got to talk about it. Heritage Cup rules, Nathan Frazier versus A-Kid. And even though Nathan Frazier got the first fall, it was all for naught. Two things happening, two different directions. A-Kid has momentum, something he's sorely needed. And Nathan Frazier, once again, can't win the big one. What happened here, Jack?
It seems like with Nathan Frazier, the shorter his hair and his shorts get, the bigger he gets. Does it look like he's been putting on some muscle?
Optical illusions.
Maybe it is. I'm going to have to cut my hair a little shorter and wear my shorts a little shorter. So maybe that's what it is. He's shortening the shorts because he's working his way up to the thigh guy status. Dylan Matthews says, coming to Peacock, WWE Network, Scooby-Doo, the Satomura disappearance.
She's around.
This was a great, these two are so good. This was such a fun match to watch, and their ability to work together in the ring. And when I say that, obviously I mean their ability to have a match together is just great. Like I think the highlight of the match for me was that really cool, I guess you'd call it German suplex, but it was the way A-Kid went flying through the ropes and then did the throw. such a cool part moment, so many cool pin combinations and working to like position each other. Very, very good match. But yeah, Nathan Frazier gonna have to find a way to get some momentum. He had so much of it to start, and then it seems like maybe he started getting into some matches he shouldn't have gotten into, took a couple losses, and now not able to get that forward momentum again. I don't know what he needs to do to get going. Maybe find someone he can get some wins against to start getting that momentum again. But as you know, the matches you can get wins, the people you can get wins against in NXT UK are few and far between. So I don't know what he's got to do.
I know on our sister show, Macmania, available Tuesdays wherever you listen to your podcast, we have this segment called The Farmer's Market. I'm totally going to see your gimmick in front of your face and say, I would probably sell some Nathan Frazier stock. Yeah, actually, I'd probably gladly sell this idea concept I had it with no help. Fucking Nathan Frazier and probably buy some Dyson Jones stock. Is that weird? Is that a bad thing? Is that a bad trade, Jack?
Well, I get where you're coming from, but there's the old stock adage of you don't sell low, you buy low, sell high. And Nathan Frazier's someone who I don't know how long he's going to be in this slump, but I can't imagine he's going to stay there forever. So while I wouldn't necessarily green light a buy now on Nathan Frazier, if I already had an investment in him, I certainly wouldn't sell now because I think he will go back up. I think this is a bump in the road. I think it's a slump. I think he's definitely going to have a much bigger career than where he's at now.
Well, we got on the horizon. It's A-Kid, Noam Dar, Supernova 11. Looks like he has all the momentum. A-Kid is climbing this mountain again. I think Noam has the edge, but do you disagree?
I think if you're Noam Dar, you know I'm a big fan of Noam Dar, and I know that he's someone who's ready for anything, but I have to suspect that as he was watching this match, A-Kid becoming the number one contender is the worst outcome for Noam Dar. This has to be the matchup that he was dreading. This has to be the matchup he did not want to see happen, because A-Kid, as he said in the digital exclusive posted right after the show, A-Kid's born for the Heritage title. He's been the champion before. I believe I don't have our producer here with me to do the quick fact checking, but I believe A-Kid has had more Heritage Cup matches than anyone else on the brand.
That's true.
I think he's the most experienced. And so if you're Noam Dar, you've got to be disappointed that this is your next matchup, because A-Kid is the one guy that I think represents the most difficulty in defending that title against anyone across NXT UK.
Ooh, I love when you put people over. That's like a tongue twister. Okay. Moving on, before we go to 2.0, I just want to say just another promo standout. That Jordan Devlin promo looked like a movie. I was going to buy it on Netflix or Redbox. I don't know. I like the fact he just looks all over the city and says, I'm better than you. Jordan Devlin, we've been talking about this on the show a lot of times, being primed for the next level, but I think he may actually be ready for it.
There were a lot of American Psycho references during that promo, and I'm not sure if anyone else caught it. I don't know if we were supposed to catch it, but specifically him wearing a mask saying, I start my day with crunches. I'm up to 1,000 now. That was something that was actually said in American Psycho. And the reason I bring this up is, one, I think it's cool because it does set a tone of what kind of person he is. He's an affluent person who's very intentional. But it makes me wonder, how far will this analogy go? Obviously, in American Psycho, things went very far in American Psycho. Yeah. How far is Jordan Devlin going to go? That was my interest in watching this. I thought the promo was really well done. To your point about these video packages being better and better for NXT UK, I thought this was a good example of one. And I think really helped to show anyone who's new to NXT UK get a better idea of just what kind of person Jordan Devlin is.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of jerks and psychopaths, Jack, also was kind of like in that same camp on NXT 2.0. Grayson Waller, public enemy number one, looks like he got paid a bounty last week because he bought a new shirt and new glasses. Totally feeling himself. But let's be
real.
How much
is a bounty if it's just a shirt and glasses?
Probably like a $50 Kohl's gift card. Listen, I'm just saying. There you go. Johnny Wrestling figured it out.
Here's a bounty.
Well, do you believe it? Do you believe Grayson Waller really as bad as everyone says he is, or is something more afoot here?
I think that what Grayson Waller is doing right now is absolutely perfect. I love it. I think this is
really
great. I love that he's kind of becoming the Baron Corbin of NXT 2.0, where everyone hates him. Even the other people who aren't good people hate Baron Corbin. Even Wade Barrett was going after him, of all people. And he, it just, I thought it was really cool. I love that even when he got kicked out of the locker room, he said that the real stars have their own locker room. He stole LA Knight's car. I thought this was fantastic. I thought this was really well done. You know what you reminded me of, though? Like, just as a comparison, a fun comparison. Me, yes. Like, no, everyone loves me, Flobo. What are you talking about? This is such a deep cut. I don't know if anyone will get it, but he reminded me of Paul Walker's character in She's All That.
Wow.
I don't know if you remember that movie, but he definitely reminds me of that guy.
That is a deep cut and an old cut too. I mean, it was like 20 years ago. But. Yes.
The fact that they've made he's all that and now She's the Mom says how old that reference.
They made She's the Mom too?
No. He's all that.
Oh, woo.
And He's All That, the girl that played the girl in She's All That is now the mom of the kid in He's All That.
We're down a very dark path. I have no idea that even happened. But look, I personally didn't believe
like that said, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, I was standing with the guy.
They probably asking our forefathers, should I cut my pantaloons shorter so my thighs more? No, Jack.
When me and my friends were inventing disco.
Oh, man, disco. Let's make the songs as long as possible.
don't want to listen to a song for 7 minutes.
Man, Grayson Waller's on the tear. I guess like he's going to be the Baron Corbin. You're absolutely right, and I guess it makes sense for him. And I try to distance himself a little bit from the Austin Theory thing, but to me, he seemed kind of sudden. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna start wearing this weird kind of vibe thing. But I'm just nitpicking, right?
It was a very sudden change, but this guy, I think he gets it. We don't get into the news much here, but on a wrestling pundit, I guess Bully Ray, I think was when it said, was talking about how a lot of people don't know how to be that genuine bad guy. And I think that someone like Grayson Waller gets it. I think he gets how to get underneath people's skin, and where that's going to pay dividends is in his matches. If someone gets under your skin and they bother you, it breaks your game plan. It breaks your ability to have a more focused match. And I think that that's going to give Grayson Waller the edge in big matchups down the road.
Quick question, and this can go either way, but because of the actions of Grayson Waller, would you consider LA Knight a fan favorite?
I've always loved LA Knight, so I call him a fan favorite.
Let me talk to you.
I'm going to say this, and you know, and I'm going to add on top of that, since we're kind of going beyond just what's on NXT, or at least I have with a couple comments, but you know, a lot of people talk about how we got one of the promos we've all wanted to see for so long with MJF versus CM Punk. I want to see MJF versus LA Knight on a microphone. That would be a fun matchup.
Oh, I'd be down for that one. That should be a pay-per-view, actually. Just a 60-minute time limit.
Yeah.
Like the video games are promo points. You pick the right promo option and the winner will score.
Because I think they both have similar style in that they're very good at using like the linguistic gymnastics, as I like to call it. And I think that it'd be fun to watch them go back and forth. It'd be good.
Well, one person that went back and forth, surprisingly for me, was our main event. Bron Breakker against Roderick Strong, and it was something that I didn't expect from Bron Breakker, the powerhouse himself, going a little collar and elbow, snapmare, takedowns, and headlocks. The match was pretty solid. I thought the title was in line, but obviously it wasn't, because Bron Breakker does not look like a Cruiserweight champion. Thoughts about this one? Now, here's the question I have about the match, not so much. It's a group diamond mine. They're looking more and more like they're going to be the terror of the brand, but their leader took an L in prime time.
I don't know if I call them the terror of the brand, but they're definitely going to be the person that you conflict with the most. Using outdated references continued, it's like the X-Men and the Sentinels, you know? The Sentinels may not be the big bad, but they're always a problem. They're always there. They're always causing issues. That's kind of what I think of them in NXT 2.0. They're just always going to be the problem. I will say in this match, three things came up. don't sleep on Roderick Strong. That dude is so good in the ring. I don't know. Like, he took a loss, but I love Roderick Strong.
I'm sleeping on him.
Bron Breakker, I'm just reiterating again. This guy is, he is so good. He's going to be such a star. I can see him, I've said before, standing across from anybody and not looking like he's not big enough for the moment. But the best part about NXT 2.0, I think something they've done is they've done a very good job of creating characters. I think that's panned out for them. And I think a lot of people don't want to give 2.0 credit, but that is something they should get credit on. The other side is, and something I love is all these characters are constantly interacting with each other, with Trick and Carmelo watching the match. And you've got the Creed brothers on the outside and Ciampa getting like, there's unlike Raw, for instance, with Raw, it feels like you have certain people and it'll be like Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. They're having a match at the pay-per-view. And so we only see them together. We never see them interacting with other people. It's like, it's just those two. But with NXT 2.0, everyone's around all the time. And they're always interacting with each other and they're always crossing each other's paths. And I think that's such a cool thing that they're doing on that show.
Oh yeah. I have a follow-up question, but first, but Dylan Matthews says, if Bron Breakker wins a CW title, as 205 Live, you get a name change. We're actually talking about this before he went live, is that 205 Live hasn't had a cruiserweight match in like 3 months, but it's still called 205 Live.
They had Odyssey Jones on there. I mean,
yeah. Odyssey Jones was Joe Gacy.
That is far away from a 205 match as you can get. It's like 205 and up. At this point,
right, it's like the dollar store, like it's dollar-ish, you know.
Yeah,
205 represents the amount of energy these talents use week in and week out in the ring. But the last hanging thread, though, before we move on, the whole Bron Breakker thing is Ciampa. Ciampa gets kind of aggressive and hits Bron Breakker after the match. And I know we get a rematch, but why does Ciampa have to do it? Is he thinking that Braun's gonna take him down? Is that why he's doing these crazy things?
Well, we know that Ciampa is going to have to defend that title against Bron Breakker at least one more time. Ciampa knows that. And I think Ciampa knows that Bron Breakker has shown that he can wrestle. He's got the talent to be the champion. Bron Breakker has the strength, the speed, the energy. He can go the distance. Bron Breakker has done and shown he can do anything and everything, except he hasn't shown yet that he can handle it when things get very personal. And that's what Ciampa's doing. He's trying to get under Bron Breakker's skin. He's trying to make it personal and hope that that can break up the game plan from a Bron Breakker. Because other than that, every other measurable, Bron Breakker is off the charts. And frankly, Bron Breakker has Ciampa dead to rights. But the mind games is the one place Bron Breakker hasn't been tested. So that is where Tommaso Ciampa's going. And that is going to be Tommaso Ciampa's game plan for beating the young upstart.
Well, he did beat the Chucky challenge, unlike his dad or uncle, but that's besides the point.
I mean, well, look, everyone's talented in NXT. So the fact that Ciampa got the win, you know, that's not super shocking. They're both incredible athletes. They're both incredible wrestlers. But Bron Breakker has youth on his side. So it's only a matter of time. So right now what Ciampa is trying to do is put Bron Breakker away so he doesn't come back. That's what he's trying to do.
Question for you. Which is more sad? Robert Stonebrand asking and begging for airtime or GYV losing the jacket time? Thoughts?
GYV losing to jacket time to me.
But it's Kushida and Nikki Manjiro. Jacket time.
I like jacket time. I like Grizzled Young Veterans. The thing about the reason why is Robert Stone trying to get TV time. It makes sense it's tough for him right now because he doesn't have a client. A manager without a client.
Can relate.
Is a, a manager without a client, it's going to be very tricky to get TV time. So that makes sense. It's not out of the ordinary for him to not have to beg for TV time. I have a feeling we talked about the farmer's market. I'd invest in Robert Stonebrand right now, to be honest with you. That is the brand to be investing in. That's going to be the brand that goes through the roof in 2022. But Grizzled Young Veterans, this is a team, the first ever NXT UK tag team champions, the guys that just seemed like they were destined for tag team championship gold in NXT 2.0, now find themselves sort of stranded stateside. They've left NXT UK long enough that I don't see them going back, but they can't seem to get going in the tag team division, and they're stuck having to rob DoorDash drivers to find their meals. It's not a good time for the grizzled young veterans, and I don't know how they get out of this.
I don't know either. I very rarely losing streaks and being beat down ever goes anything positive. I'm thinking of like Triple H's losing streak or MVP's losing streak. It never works. And I'm with Dylan Matthews here. I think an elegant jacket time has to be the final nail in GYV, which is sad but understood. Because as good as we know GYV is, in this universe, they haven't been anything of merit. We're always imparting their past legacies before the reboot, which you have to assume is a whole different show. But I just want to pause on that.
I will say, Grizzled Young Veterans, they're a team that, if given the opportunity to shine, can go to any brand on planet Earth and stand out. When I say any brand on planet Earth, I mean UK, I mean Raw, I mean SmackDown, I mean NXT 2.0. I even mean if they found themselves in Impact, AEW, MLW, I think they could go anywhere on planet Earth and be a tag team champion caliber team. Right now, though, they need a fresh start. They're kind of in a spot where I think that their wheels are spinning. The car's in mud. You got to get it out of there. You got to get it to a place where they can get somewhere and get some momentum. I think they need a change of scenery.
One of your homeboys, the former Parker Harlan, has a matchup this week. First time in the ring. I mean, the match itself was like two blinks of an eye. But what's this mean for Joe Gacy? And your thoughts about that? Having muscle. Does Joe Gacy need a muscle? How did Harlan acquit himself, in your opinion?
I mean, Harlan, dominant win. Hard to fault him in anywhere. The win was strong. He didn't have any weak points. I want to give a shout out to my good friend Vinny, who was one of the referees that had to stop him. So he had a tough job there, but he was a Santino's guy. So seeing him out there was cool. But I loved the spot. I mean, of course, poor Brian Kendrick probably didn't love it. But again, I loved the shot of someone getting thrown down the stairs. I thought that was a cool moment.
Yeah, sicko. How
dangerous old Harlan was. I like when people get thrown off the stairs.
Oh, more of that, please.
Yes. I love it when people get thrown off the things. I thought that was cool. And I thought it was a very, I mean, I don't know what else you'd want from Harlan here. Joe Gacy, though, I think Joe Gacy's got a lot of good things going for him, but I really worry about his ability to control Harlan. Because even he seemed like he was like, oh, Harlan, please.
Yeah, it does. Please. It does seem like, well, here's the thing. The reason why I ask about Harlan, because I think one of the two breakout talents, always one of the three breakout talents besides Braun Breaker is in a whole different category. I think if we're doing the whole buy low, have high, I think Harlan will be pretty much the wall, if you will, mm-hmm. WCW reference of next season, yes. next year. But the other talent I think we are forgetting had a match today. Ivy Nile against Amari Miller. And yeah. Amari Miller is fantastic. She'll come into her own. Maybe not now. But Ivy Nile could very well be that face of the women's division. Very young, very scrappy. Reminds me a little bit of legit Layla Hirsch, but she has a longer extremities and limbs to really put this leverage on for submission moves. A Diamond Mine is a big faction, probably growing, but Ivy Nile could be the one.
Ivy Nile, I'm so glad you said that because I agree completely. Ivy Nile looks dominant. Looks unstoppable. And I keep saying looks because in wrestling, let's be honest, you got to have the look. And as soon as she walks out, I mean, she is just shredded. She is incredible shape. But also her moveset is very cool. I love how it's not over the top different, but there's just little tweaks to a lot of the things she does that's just a little bit different. Like that dragon sleeper finisher move she has where she locks her hands behind her back. Not over the top different, not someone that feels like they're trying to do things differently, right. But just little tweaks to add a little bit more torque on all she does really makes her style stand out to everyone else. I think you're right. She's the sleeper hit of this brand right now.
Buy now.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sure Malcolm's like, I knew it all along. All right, Malcolm, just put it out there.
Yeah. Malcolm's trying to buy everybody. That's the thing.
I know. If Diamond Mine has 9 people, I'd be like, yeah, I see that coming. Like, it looks like one of those groups, you know, NWO
right.
style.
I mean, to be fair, if you're playing Monopoly, you want all the pieces, right?
I mean, I never win at a Monopoly, so I wouldn't know. I'm the worst. Monopoly Junior, I can kick ass in that. But regular Monopoly, I can't. I'm just the worst at it.
I imagine Monopoly Junior is the same thing, but with smaller bills.
Oh, yeah. Very small. It's very easy for Matt. It's an amusement park. So you get the loop-de-loop. You have a water slide. It's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, check it out. Tony D'Angelo has a bit of a showdown with Pete Dunne. He once called him Petey Poppins. But now I got a feeling that he may have signed his own death warrant. You know what I'm saying? Bada boom. Because an angry Pete Dunne is someone you don't want to get upset even further. Pete Dunne, Tony D'Angelo, talk about 1.0 versus 2.0. Sheesh.
Yeah, this was funny because watching them go at it on the microphone, I was like, hey, Paisan. Hey, geezer. each other, these funny slang terms that don't make any sense here in America. But the thing that stood out to me about this matchup is, and them on the microphone is, you could tell that we're supposed to feel sympathetic towards Pete Dunne and we're not supposed to like Tony D'Angelo, but I could easily see as this goes on that the people more and more, because they already love Tony D'Angelo, start to love Tony D'Angelo even more and start to not like Pete Dunne, because Pete Dunne can be a little unlikable himself. It's interesting. I think this might be one of those rivalries where it goes in one way and comes out the other. I feel like there's a Chipotle joke in there.
I have a transition, but I won't use it yet because I want a follow-up question. Because I was like that bag the shaman used? But no, I'm going to say this instead. No. You got the match eventually on the horizon. Pete Dunne is a very tactical person. Tony Angelo has his own deal. Do you think that Tony Angelo, and I mentioned this before, it's a question I asked about 3 weeks ago. Do you think Tony Angelo needs a faction still?
A faction? Tony D'Angelo?
Mm-hmm. He has guys. He knows guys. What's up?
He knows guys, but a faction and knowing guys is different, you know? Knowing guys is like, you got some friends, you know? They don't, but they're not like, you're not hanging out with each other all day saying we're friends wearing the same outfits with shirts, you know?
Why are you being all shifty-eyed?
The kind of friends Tony D'Angelo has are the kind of friends that you keep vague. You don't want people to know that you're friends. You say you have friends in shipping, but you don't all wear the same shirt and let everyone know that you're affiliated. You know what I mean? You kind of, you let the world know, but you don't let the world know.
Bada boom. I'm glad I asked that question. Now I have even more questions about you, Jackery. Not just, what are you on? Okay, so real quick about the whole shaman thing. We talked about this beforehand. You, not a fan. Me, I'm okay with it. The shaman Matt Riddle has some things with MSK. Thoughts?
I don't understand what these are for at this point. I didn't really
shaman!
Get...
Shaman!
I don't really get what they're doing here. You're hanging out in a room pulling little scooters out of a bag. I don't get it. I don't get it. You MSK is such a hot tag team. They're so good and you're doing everything you can to keep them out of the ring, which is fine. But if you're trying to use these things to to add credibility by having them hanging out with a tag team champion,
right?
Why are they pulling things out of a bag and pulling scooters out of a bag? I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Why do I want to go see MSK more so now after 5 or 6 weeks of them walking around?
Like MSK in the ring. There's no doubt about that. But we don't really know what they were. It was kind of like they were shorts and they go MSK. So you're probably.
What are they now?
15 years ago, you're probably sitting at home watching SmackDown going, what's the point of Kurt Angle having a tag team name after them? Why do they have hoodies? It makes no sense. It's about death. They come back with a rub from Riddle, a fresh team, a team you could pinpoint on. So they hung out with the guy, hung out with Matt Riddle, obviously implying they smoked marijuana. That's what I can say on the show because it's not really censored at all. They said they'd be something different. Before, they're just 3 letters, and now they have something.
But if you've smoked marijuana, you know it's nothing like what they're presenting on TV.
TV's different.
that's where the problem lies. Is that this
kids
is,
love it.
This doesn't seem anything like what you're trying to pretend like it is. It's like it's being put together by people who read about it And it's like, it's like someone watched Reefer Madness and then they're trying to use the information based on that.
Don't we, by the way?
The reason it's frustrating is the people they're trying to align these characters with are nothing like what they're presenting. You know, it'd be like if I was like, I want to make a character that seems like a gang member, and I have some dude with a backwards hat walk out and say, yo,
right?
What's up, homie? And everybody be like, what the heck is this?
And Crime Time are multiple time champions. Write that down, man. That's a good idea. Look, I understand Matt Riddle used to be one of the most hyped up independent wrestlers of all time. And now he's going, hey, Randy, every Monday night. But hey, MSK needs something, and they're not wrestling right now. So give him something that's interesting.
Right. Give him something that's interesting. That's the word.
Fine.
The way this was put together, you know, because you just talked about the great video packages on NXT UK. And we just talked about the prime targets of the past. Mm-hmm. This feels like, when I was watching this, this felt like something that was put together on an old episode of The Apprentice, where they're like, you have 2 hours and this small budget to put together a video using this character. And people just throw together some random quick thing. And that's all. It didn't. It just didn't.
You don't believe the bag was bottomless. Just admit it, bro. You think there was actually a bomb in that bag?
Oh, I know the bag was bottomless.
I love it. just a real dumb quick question, by the way. Third week in a row, we've seen Wendy Chu walking around, still sleeping. Thoughts about Wendy Chu so far? I know there's not much to go on. Are you intrigued? Are you kind of annoyed by her?
I think I need to see more. I'm a little disappointed because I know who she used to be, and that was one of my favorite things. And I don't know if there was anything they could have done with her that would have made me happy based off of them taking away one of my favorite characters. But that aside, if I look at it in a vacuum, I just need more information. But that's a good example of what I was talking about before with all their characters interact a lot. You know, and her walking out on Lash Legend and being a part of that segment.
Hashtag push Bo. He had a match today against Edris Enofe. Bo's looking cool, somehow fully internalized, controlled. I'm not sure he's fully controlled. I think he's in a way of controlling the spirit of Tian Sha. Hey, so cool. No, nah.
Enofe, yeah. I would say Enofe, by the way, a SoCal guy, did a lot of work here. Very cool to see him not just be on NXT, but to be a regular is very cool. I think he's a buy prospect, by the way, as well. So I think is going to do very well in the future. But Boa, that like spin kick to the face finish movie ad, just brutal looking.
Push Boa.
I like Boa. You know, especially because every time I see him, I think he gets bigger every time I see him.
So he is internalizing the spirit of that dragon, man. And he's so well dressed. His gear is tight.
Can I say, I don't know, are we going to talk about Lash Legend?
Planned, but let's do it.
I just want to say one small thing. I thought it was fun that Lash Legend says, you guys are always dressed to impress, as Kushida was wearing a sleeveless t-shirt.
I'm impressed.
I thought it was like, he looked as casual as could be. It's like, you're always dressed to impress.
I'm just going to fill it in.
is that what we call dressed to impress these days?
Bro, I watched a movie recently. Oh, okay. So if you guys don't know this, we'll look at the curtain here. Jack Farmer produced a movie called Dead Bodies, available on the festival circuit. Loved it. Yeah. I actually watched a screener for it one time. And there was a scene where one character goes, nice suit. And it wasn't a suit in the scene. I got so annoyed. Nice suit, but there is no suit. So I know exactly what you mean, bro. Dead Body, available now on the festival circuit.
I like how you put over my movie just to like crap on
it. It's a great film. We'll know more about that. I'm just saying that one thing.
Yeah, it's on the festival circuit now. If you follow me on social media at Real Jack Farmer, you can probably see links to where you can see it. But the goal is it should be available on streaming services soon.
Hands down, one of the best movies I've seen in the past. Best comedy movies I've seen in the past 5 years. I'm not even trying to put you over.
You're too kind.
I'll go more detail about that in a future episode of... Can't talk about that now. Okay, moving on. Cameron Grimes with Duke Hudson had a no-holds bars match. That starts everything off the top. And here's the deal. We finally see Duke Hudson's bald scalp. And you are a Duke Hudson fan. Jack, must have shed a couple tears for him, huh?
Yeah, this sucked. I'm a big Duke Hudson fan.
Yeah.
As a fan, it was a bummer. But I think that I've said before, I think that WWE rewards people who are able to look like fools and survive it. And I think that Duke Hudson looked like a huge fool, but I also think he survived it. I think that he's someone who can come out of this and not look like less of a threat, even though he kind of looked like an idiot. And I think the world of the WWE, the WWE universe, long-term will reward you if you can do that. So while it was a loss today, I think the future looks very bright for Duke Hudson.
Question here in my notes. In your opinion, where does a casino table rank in painful foreign objects?
For some reason, I don't feel like it's that high up.
With cushions on the side of it? Is that what
maybe that's what it is. I also feel like the casino tables I've seen seems like they have very weak fold-out legs. They never feel like they're very sturdy in the first place.
Yeah, but it's a round table and they look a little thicker on the actual part, no?
I have no idea. It may hurt really, really bad, but for some reason it just doesn't, like, when I see it, I don't go, ooh, this is rough, as opposed to other things.
Oh, what do you guys think in the chat below? I'm just curious. The casino table, I don't know. I can go either way. I just want to know what Jack thought about that.
No, I want you to prove this is a spaghetti debate now. You're like,
I am not. I'm always team ring bell. Ring bell will always be top for me. I'm just curious where this one ranks. So I'm totally
by the
fine.
Way. What's not up? To go off the rails, there was an interview with one Bret Hart, who I know you don't – before you make a comment, let me say they asked him the most painful weapon, and he said a ring bell.
Don't do this to me. This is like when the Young Bucks do a Northern Lights suplex. I'm so conflicted. It's like I got to pop.
What if they do a Northern Lights suplex onto the ring bell?
Oh, dude. I would buy merch. I can't lie.
But then not only do they do that, but it makes the ding sound like someone rings.
You got to sell it, man. You got to, and then have the referee go, ring the bell.
How do you not make them your favorite tag team of all time if they're able to pull that off somehow?
I will take it back, everything I ever said. And they're watching, they don't know they're watching the show because that ever happens in a very specific spot. So I'll go, they watch Raped in Gold. So
as they shout, Flobo.
It's like, ding. So I'm going through my random questions here on my notes. Briggs and Jensen are being American AF and they're going to the fair with Casey and Caden. Are you talking about an alliance or is this kind of like just a one-off thing, you think, or two-off thing?
I wrote in my notes, sure. I feel like Brooks and Jensen, they've got to be communist spies because no one emphasizes they're that American unless you're trying to hide something.
Oh my gosh.
Give me
a flashback. Go ahead.
They go way out of their way to be like, have we mentioned we're American?
Just saying.
Yeehaw.
Oh my gosh. This takes me back to a Matt TV sketch where it looked like an alien like adopted a human being's flesh and was going to run for president as Smith, John for American president. This is exactly what it sounds like. You're right.
That's the only explanation because they will not miss a chance to remind us that, like, I love playing football, the American sport, while drinking my American domestic beer at my country music festival while wearing my American flag shirt.
This is another deep cut here. I'm probably getting me canceled, but there was an episode of The Simpsons where Apu was getting his citizenship, and he goes, hello, the Mets are my favorite squadron. You're like, wait a minute. My favorite baseball squadron. I was like, Mets. All right.
And then poor Casey and Kate, I think they were just like, oh, yeah, a party, because they like to dance and like music, and they made that very clear. And they were there having fun, but the whole time they had these two guys just creepily staring at them. I felt bad. I was like, oh, that's weird.
The foreign operatives. You guys like fun?
You like American fun?
Oh, my gosh.
Shall we eat potato chips after this?
Smooth, brother. Look, we're getting crazy here. It's almost time to get out of here. Jack Farmer, it's now time for the MVP of NXT. Who's that one person or team that stuck out for you? And even though we didn't get to the Cora Jade match, I think she did pretty okay over Dakota Kai. It's an upset, but your thoughts for MVP?
Whenever I think of the MVP, I always think of the person that actually moves up rankings, has title implications and things like that. And for that reason, I got to give it to A-Kid. He has secured himself a number one contendership spot for the Heritage Championship. And he got a strong win over a tough opponent, even though his opponent is kind of in a slump right now. But he's positioned himself to win a title. So I got to give it to A-Kid.
I was torn and tied between this one. I did mention Cora J, her win over Dakota Kai, but it kind of wasn't overtly convincing. I liked LA Knight's promo, thought it was promo of the night. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to it, it was Bron Breakker for me, which I know seemed like a safe choice, but Bron showed he has what they call the range, right? Because he went hole for hole with Roderick Strong, something I didn't expect, and that's what I want in my wrestling.
Yep. I would give my runner-up to Grayson Waller, though, because he showed me today that I always say wrestling is a conflict business, and he doesn't mind conflicting.
Tis, tis, tis. Straight to gold. Your one-stop shop for NXT. NXT UK content. Jack Farmer. Look, man, I love Dead Body. Available now on the festival circuit. But where can the world find you and interact with all your projects, baby?
Yeah, you can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media, where I post all my information for things like Mac Mania or Evolution of Movies. By the way, a new season starts next year of Evolution of Movies. We review movies, but we go through years. So we're going to start way back in the past. And every episode, we move up 1 year until we get to current day. So hit me up at Real Jack Farmer with movies you would like to see us chat about over there. And also, check out the
Are you starting in the first week of January 52 years ago, or is it
that's the plan. We'll probably start like second week of January, so it'll be 50 years ago, which I don't want to say 50 years how far back that is, because I think it's not that far back. It's
the 70s back. I think it'd be the 70s.
Oh my god, the 70s are 50 years ago. That's terrifying.
Yeah. what do you expect, man? It's 2021. That's over 20 years in this century.
No, it'll be like 1972. So we're going to start in 1972, the first episode of the year. Then we go to 73, 74, 75, until we do a movie from 2022. So, yeah, if there's any movies you want to see us review, just let me know, and we'll consider that one.
Check it out, the Evolution of Movies. Real Jack Farmer. He's one half of the award-winning Draped in Gold every Thursday. Learn more at drapedingold.com. But I'm about to get out of here, man. Gotta get ready for that whole Christmas spirit. Get some eggnog or something. But until that time, because we're not really sure if we're coming back next week. I'm not sure if it's going to be reruns. If there is original content, we'll be here. I'll be here at least, excuse me. But if we go dark, I'll let you guys know in advance. But until we decide what we're doing next week, Jack Farmer, say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.